Thank you, Brian. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, our healer, I'm going to ask you, just put your hand on your chest again this morning if you have a need, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in your body. Hallelujah. Because he's here this morning, the Holy Spirit is here with us. And Lord, there's work to be done in each one of us, Father. And we're being attacked mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every way in this world. But we got Jesus.
Yes.
And so, Lord, I speak by faith, everyone that has their hand upon their chest saying, I have a need in my life right now, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is. Lord, we surrender that to you right now because you already accomplished on the cross. You said we were and we are healed. And by faith, we speak that no matter how long we've been struggling, no matter what the problem is, we speak Jesus to the problem, the issue, the physical problem, whatever it is, mental, emotional. We trust you, Lord. And we are going to stand upon your holy word and trust you for divine healing in our lives and deliverance. In the mighty name of Jesus, no matter what the enemy would put in our minds, we're going to trust you because you are the mighty God. You're a loving God, a faithful God, a delivering God. And so, Lord, we commit this service to you. And as we are, as we're seated, Lord, I believe that your manifestation will move in each person who is trusting you and seeking you and loving you. And we praise you. We commit this balance, this service to you for your glory and for your honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And look at somebody and say, I am healed. You know, my message today is the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. And you know, how many have battles in their mind? Enemy attacks the mind. Some of you didn't even feel like coming to church today, but you came anyway. Thank you. A lot of people don't come to church. Why? Because their mind says, I don't feel like it. But we don't operate by our feelings. We operate by our faith. Amen?
Amen.
If I, many times in my Christian walk, times when I woke up and I thought I could go fishing, I could do whatever. I said, no, I'm going to go to church against my flesh. I said, I'm going to go to church. And God helps me to do it. And once I'm there, I'm realizing this is where I should have been. But I tell you what, Satan knows how to get us.
Yep.
Battling our minds. We operate on feelings. And today the church in much way operates in feelings. They feel, I feel this, I feel that, and they're moved by their feelings rather than what the Word of God says. And we have to understand, is that from the enemy or is that the Holy Spirit speaking to our lives? So I want to kind of touch on that this morning out of the Scriptures, if you brought your Bibles, the battle of the mind. And we got to understand that you know, a lot of times our feelings, our emotions, our attitudes, many things affect us because of what's happening in the mind. And we need to be aware of that and realize when we are battling with something tremendously, we got to understand where many times that's coming from and address it properly. So I want to touch on that. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine onto them. And even that, in sometimes in the body of Christ, we can blind ourselves to the truth of God's word if we depend upon our feelings and our emotions rather than what the word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to be aware of that. But the Bible makes it clear that the nature of the battle, we as believers, is spiritual. But the primary ground upon which this battle is fought is in our thoughts, our thought life. It's the life and death battle for the control of our minds. And that's what Satan tries to control, is our minds. That's how he operates. He has no other power. He does that through speaking thoughts into our minds and our emotions and things like that to control. And that's what his goal is to do. And he's very good at it and very successful at it, as we know in this world. Living a spirit-filled life is a battle. How many know that? It's a battle. There's nothing easy about it. I heard one guy one time told me, he said, you bunch of wimpy Christians. I said, oh no. Give your life to Jesus, I'll see how strong you are. It takes a real man and woman of God, young person of God, to be a Christian and to live that life every single day. And we need to be aware of that. And that's why Paul said, put on the full armor of God. And you say, well, you know, you bring that scripture up quite a bit in this church. Yeah, I do. Right. It's got to be brought up. We're leaky vessels. We forget we're in a war. We're not in a cruise ship. We're in a battleship.
Right.
And we are being attacked every moment. Even some of you right now sitting in the church at the sound of my voice and by Facebook are being attacked in your mind. By your thoughts. By maybe how you feel, whatever. But you're being attacked. And sometimes it's negative thinking too. Because Satan does not want you to come to church and to grow in the things of God. And we need the full armor of God. It says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Those strategies and the schemes that Satan has planned for each one of us through his minion of demons. He's working continually to bring us down, and we need to be aware of that. We're not to run in fear from that. We're not to be discouraged by that. We know that's going to happen, and that's why God gave us the armor that he told us to put on. Who puts it on? Does God put it on you? No, we put it on. The Bible says put on the armor of God, and you do that through salvation. Being born again, you put on the armor of God. You take on the helmet of salvation. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness, and goes on. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. God made it possible for us to defeat the enemy even in our minds because of the armor. And we need that armor on daily. Paul mentions no words and lets us know that we are in a battle. We are in a serious battle, but it isn't against any human foe. We may think it is, and it may look like it is, it may be, but we are fighting a spiritual battle. And it's not against any kind of human army, but rather spiritual and against Satan and his demonic force. That's who we're fighting. Now, Satan operates through men and women that are open to his suggestions, and they live out the life, and maybe to come even against us. But when we're coming against people that are seemingly coming against us, they're not the ones we're fighting. We got to know where that's coming from, even from somebody who is coming against us. That there's a spiritual battle raging, and Satan is using the people many times that come against us, even within the church sometimes. When there's gossip, when there's backbiting, when there's things, where is gossip and backbiting coming from? It's what's put in your mind and your heart, goes into your heart, and you begin to do it, and you're open to Satan, and he begins to use you to tear somebody else down. And so if somebody's even in the church and they've got aught against you, God even tells us how to deal with that, doesn't he? He said, go to that person if you have aught against someone. And we need to be aware that if you're under attack, even in the church, or you don't feel like you're part, or people are treating you, just you're fighting a spiritual battle. It isn't the people. Because did you know that in a church like this, even in small churches all around this country, many of them, smaller than this, every one of them's got different personalities. I've said that before. Mannerisms. Many people are not outspoken. And they're quiet. And that doesn't mean they don't like someone. But the enemy will put in the thought of a sensitive person saying, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. That is an attack of the enemy upon the mind to bring you down and discourage. And that's why many people walk out of churches and never show up again. And they call them all hypocrites. And they don't realize they were a hypocrite by coming in and doing that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's true. So Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, God confirms that to us. But against Listen to the army that's against us. Realize this now. Think about this. This is the army that's against you and I, the born-again believer. This is what, when we come to Christ, this is what's against us. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's coming against you and I daily. That's what we're fighting about. We forget that. It's not the human foe or humanity. It's the spiritual thing behind it that's happening, that's coming against us. And once we come to realize that, we can have better victory and have more joy in our lives, because then we can use the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Then we can have that armor that's supposed to be on us 24 hours a day. Amen? We got it. God gave us the victory if we take it. But many times we're fighting one another instead of fighting a demonic battle, a spiritual warfare that you and I can't see. But God gave us a little glimpse of it. Invisibly, He gave us a chance to see it and to hear it, to give us a brief glimpse of tremendous spiritual force that's arrayed against you and I every single day. Every single day. What this reveals is that this Christian life is essentially a conflict. Now, a lot of people go to a church or they hear a preacher maybe or somebody say, you come to Jesus, all your problems are solved. I don't know about you, but I remember when I got saved, when I was in the world, I didn't fight the battles I was fighting because Satan had me. Whatever I wanted to do, felt I wanted to do, I did it. I didn't have the Holy Spirit convicting my heart saying, you shouldn't do that. You know, don't do this. And not under a commanding thing. But once I got saved and I wanted to live my life for Jesus, guess what? I started having battles. The lust of the flesh starts creeping up and the things that I did in the world want to come back. And that's when my battles start raging. And you got an enemy once you become born again. Not that you don't before that, but now you're a threat to him when you become born again, because you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to witness, and at least we should. Amen? Amen? We should be witnesses for Jesus in everything that we do. But when you do that, remember, you got an enemy. He's an enemy. For those who seek to commit themselves to follow Jesus, which is the basic definition of a disciple. When people put their hands, I want to be a follower of Christ, that means they want to be a disciple of Christ. They don't even know what they're doing many times in churches today. These big mega churches, the pastor got them in dark, no lights and everything. Who wants to be a follower of Christ? And people raise their hand. They don't even realize what they're doing. They're saying, I want to be a disciple. Do you know what a disciple of Christ truly goes through? You need to ask a person, do you want to be born again? Do you want to have the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all your sin? You need to give them the whole story and realize what's happening to them spiritually, the Holy Spirit coming and live within them, and then you become a true disciple of Christ. And we walk by faith. It says, listen to Jesus here, for those who seek to commit themselves to Jesus. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 12, blessed are they which are persecuted. Kind of funny, isn't it? Blessed? Are those who are being persecuted? Blessed? For righteousness' sake. Not foolishness. Not foolish stuff. But we're blessed when we're persecuted for righteousness. Not for foolishness. Many times we do foolish things and then we think people should. Why are people persecuting us when we're doing things we ought not be doing? But it says right here, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus told us the truth. We're going to be reviled against. We're going to have things said about us. And when somebody does that, we can keep our heart and realize where that's coming from. If somebody walks up to me and calls me a dirty name, whether I'm witnessing to them or even a negative thing, even within the church, happens, I don't get frustrated, freaked out. I know where it's coming from. It's coming from a demonic spirit that put the thought in the person's mind and wants, Satan wants me to get mad at the person so I lose my testimony too. And to realize I'm in a spiritual battle. There's a raging war going on right now within this room. If there was a curtain here and I could open it up, you would see hordes of demonic spirits right now. Many assigned to you and I to bring us down, control our minds. They have no power over us, only through deception. We battle it in the mind. They can insert thoughts, and you'll see that as I go forward. Jesus is telling his disciples that they will be open prey. No matter how hard or difficult it may be, they need to endure to the end. You and I need to endure to the end of our life serving the Lord. And God will tell us, just like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. He will get us through it. We're going to have it. We can't escape it in this world. But look at Paul. People say, well, he had some kind of sickness. No, he didn't. God revealed it right there. All the things that happen to Paul when we commit our lives to Christ and we put on Jesus, we put on the armor of God. And I need that armor.
Amen.
I need that armor. It says in Ephesians 4, 22 and 23, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That word conversation means your way of life also. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's done through the word of God when you get born again. Hallelujah. God's still renewing mine. Any of you getting renewed minds yet? Only one other? No, three other people. Okay. But listen to this. It is said that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You ever hear that? It's a terrible thing to waste. And this is especially true given to the spiritual nature of the battle that you and I face. It is said the mind has 12 to 14 billion cells. The mind does. And each cell sends out tendrils. Tendrils are actually, you know, you ever see a vine clinging to something and growing up? That's what a tendril in the mind is also. Connecting, exchanging, and transmitting information to at least 10,000 other cells. Some have called the mind the ultimate supercomputer. There are more electronic impulses and data going on in one human brain than all the computers and processors on the internet today. In your mind. What a God we serve.
Amen.
He's the one who put the mind together. And we're only using it a very small fraction of it. I wonder when we get to heaven, my theory is I think when we get to heaven, God's going to allow us to use the whole brain. And we're going to be able to see things the way God intended us to see. But right now, we just got a minute. Some are using more cells than others. And while this is crazy, scary thought about our mind being the battleground, we have the helmet of salvation to protect our thought life.
Amen.
We have that. That's salvation. We have the helmet of salvation to protect our life. And top of that, we've got the greatest weapon of them all, one that Satan and his demonic forces cannot defeat. What I'm talking about is that as Christians, that is those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and are born again. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that came and lives within us. We have the blood of Jesus. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, once we come to him, Satan has no power over us. None. Only what we give him through deception and deceit. Satan cannot take control of us in any way unless we permit him to do it through what happens up here. Many people blame the devil for sin, but many times our deceitful hearts receive it, and that's a welcome mat for Satan to come in and do his dirty work. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things.
Amen.
You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. He's working in our life. If you are born again, you have the Holy Ghost and you need to listen to him. If there's a check in your heart for something in making decisions in your life, in your home, in your family, whatever, that you need to listen to it, that could be the Holy Spirit teaching you from God's word. And we need to hear that. And he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I know before I got saved, I didn't spiritually understand this Bible at all. Not one bit. But once I got saved, guess what? I got the Spirit of God. I got a new spirit in me. And now God opens his word to me as I read it and he speaks to me. You ever witness to somebody and they start laughing at you? Oh, you're one of those religious fanatics. That's because their mind is blinded by this world, by Satan himself. And they can't receive it until they get saved. When I got witnessed to, I threatened to beat the guy up and tear his head off, the one who witnessed to me. Because I didn't understand what he was trying to do, but he was trying to share the gospel with me. And once I surrendered to it, all of a sudden, like a big light came on, and I was on his page with him. Praise the Lord. That's the light of the gospel coming into a dark heart. And every one of you in here, if you're in here and you're saved, you didn't choose Jesus. Scripture teaches me that he chose you. That's important to remember that. He chose you. Think about that. We sung Amazing Grace today. That song is one of the most incredible Holy Ghost anointed songs that there is. When you think about Amazing Grace, why did God save me with all the billions of people in the world? But he looked down and he said, I choose you. And he's still choosing today. Many are rejecting him, but he's choosing people. And he chose me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But as believers can know, Paul goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Once you become born again, you have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit living within you, and you can think God thoughts instead of demonic thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're struggling with emotional or mental anguish right now, speak the word of God. Speak what's in this word. If you're going through mental, emotional struggles right now, speak the word. Don't speak the problem. It's okay to have somebody pray with you, but never ever take God's word and use it for something that is against the will of God. People many times will say, well, I'm not going to go to work tomorrow because I'm sick. And they're not. Why would you claim a curse upon your life when God says he healed us from sickness and disease? And even Christians, many times you have sicknesses and physical things going on, but you go around and you say, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, I ask you for my healing, but they'll go around and keep telling people how sick they are.
That's right.
Yeah. Speak the word. I already know that I have something I need healing of. I shared that with certain people that pray with me. But I'm trusting God that I will be healed and am healed according to the word of God. And when I hear that, it goes into my spirit. It goes into my ears when I speak it out. And it gives me faith and it gives me that strength to go on. Instead of being negative and pessimistic, I begin to speak the word of God. And he helps me get victory over it. And pretty soon I'm on the other side. Instead of walking around moaning and complaining. We got to speak the word of God because Satan battles the mind. When you and I have physical things against us, that's a tool for him to come in and really pound on us. Because it isn't any fun when we have sickness and disease, is it? Emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, we need to remember that. Imagine being able to know God's mind. Wouldn't that be something? Being able to know that, because the Bible says our thoughts are not his thoughts. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. But wouldn't that be something to imagine? You could be able to know the mind of God. Imagine being able to think the thoughts toward to the Lord God himself. Think about that. Wow. Which are always, by the way, God's thoughts are always holy. And they're always righteous. And they're always just. This is actually what we were created with in the beginning, but then sin came in the picture and wrecked the whole thing. God's intention for us was to think those kinds of thoughts continually and live that kind of a life. But the real tragedy of the church today is that while we may worship and pray as Christians, we're not really thinking as Christians. Kent Hughes, a renowned pastor and author of numerous books on the spiritual discipline and preaching through the books of the Bible, he said that the great scandal of today's church are Christians without Christian minds. Christians without Christian minds. Now, there's an old expression that says we are what we eat. So be careful what you eat. And to an extent, that's correct. It really is. But I believe that more accurate description concerning who and what we are is that what we are and think, what we're thinking. That's more real. What are you thinking on? What's your thoughts all the time? You become what you're thinking. There's people that live in slavery all their life because they're bound. They're bound to their thinking and their thoughts of what happened in their past or happened, and the enemy comes in and he holds them in bondage. Because that's all they think on. Instead of taking the word of God and doing what the Lord said. So the battle begins within our minds. Therefore, knowing this, how are we to fight this battle? The Bible gives us some really good advice that if we avail ourselves to it, it says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word. There, that's so simple, isn't it? Be doers of the word. It's simple. Do what God says to do. It's simple. Do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Many people are not doers of the word. But we need to be doers. If we do it God's way, we'll find out that we'll have the victory. You'll have victory right in the middle of your trial and your tribulation of life. You'll have victory if you're a doer of the word. If you speak the word of God, then we can start winning the battles for our mind instead of always conceding ground to Satan, trying to justify wrong thinking. And that's what happens. That's why there's arguments in the church today, because of people trying to justify their own thinking instead of saying, just do what the Word of God says. No argument. Somebody comes to me and says, well, I'll just throw up the wine thing. Woo! That gets to be a real contentious thing in a church. No, Jesus did not make alcoholic wine at the wedding. I don't care what anybody says. Start doing a study on it. But we will have things come into our mind and we'll try to justify things to make ourselves feel good or think we're right. But the Bible, why would Jesus give somebody wine, alcoholic wine, when he said drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven? And it was a wedding party and there was a lot of people there and there was barrels of it. Why would he do that? He'd be sinning. I believe it was fresh grape juice. And I'll get off that subject. And I'm going to stand on it anyway. Christians ought not partake of alcoholic beverage. Whether you like it or not, I can't help it. You know, one of the things when God calls a true pastor to the pulpit, he doesn't call us in to fill the chairs. That's not a pastor's job. You know what a pastor's job is? To preach the word of God. To preach the word of God. Prepare our minds for action. 1 Peter tells us that we have received that which the angels desire to look into. And that is the good news that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. By that expression, gird up the loins, Peter's telling us to prepare our minds for action. Be ready, because you know the enemy is going to come in and to battle you at some point in your life. And you need to be spiritually ready. And how do you prepare your mind? You prepare it by getting into the Word of God. Back in those days, just so you understand, they didn't have jogging outfits. Nor did they wear pants or shorts. Rather, they had long robes. So if they needed to move quickly or fast, they would gather up their robe around their waist so it wouldn't trip them up when they were running. And that's what it means, girding up the loins of your mind. That's why it is meant that. to be serious and thoughtful rather than shallow and flippant in attitude. And many times when a Christian will take the Word of God and flippantly use it for a joke or for just to flippantly to say something, it loses the power that it was intended to do. It isn't that God's Word loses the power. It does to the hearer and even to yourself. I don't like jokes using the Bible. I don't like flippant usage of the Word of God in any way because it waters down the gospel. It's to be used seriously, realizing that you and I are in a spiritual battle for our souls for all eternity. And we need to be quoting the Word of God with the seriousness, and we can do it with joy and love too. Amen? Amen. We can do it that way. But there's plenty to joke about, but we don't need to use the Word of God. Because this has got a reason. That's why the Bible says it is a powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Stuff that you know is not of God out of your mind that's going to bring you down. Dump out the worldliness. The things that are attacking you. Or you want to get even with somebody. Dump it out and do what Jesus said to do. Be doers of the Word of God. And you'll find out you'll have peace of mind. A peace of man that passes all understanding, even in the middle of a trial. Because many times Satan will send hopelessness to your mind. He'll send discouragement. He'll send frustration. He'll send hatred. He'll send bitterness. He'll send anger. He'll send all those things in your mind. But if you do it God's way, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You will literally be able to begin to love your enemy, those that have easily offended you. Because you'll have the mind of Christ operating in you as we do what the Word of God says. In other words, we need to have a mind that's uncrippled by worry and fear and hate and unforgiveness and envy and pride and impurity and things like that. Our minds can be pure like Christ. We can begin to talk God thoughts. Some people get too spiritually in their life when they begin to use it as a weapon to control people, but I'm talking a way of life. That you and I live according to the Word of God, that when we speak it, it go not for the benefit of somebody else or even in our own life, it will bring a peace into our minds and it will do a work. If we find that we have weighed down by any of these along with the cares of this world, then it's high time. We need to gird up our minds. The cares of life. We all got cares of life, don't we? There's all things. Every one of you got some cares in your life. And they can bring you down if you dwell upon them. But if you dwell upon the Word of God, God says, in everything through prayer and supplication, make your request to Him. Think on that thing. Think on that. To prepare is not only shedding ourselves from these things, but also putting into our minds those attitudes that will help. And we get those attitudes through the Word of God. Paul spells out these attitudes in Philippians 4:8. And I love this one too, and I got to work on this one too. But listen, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, not false, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If the enemy is troubling you with any other kind of thought that's negative, contrary to the Word of God, begin to take Philippians 4:8 and speak it out. Speak it out and begin to realize that it will rejuvenate your mind and it will cancel out the enemy's onslaught of trying to control you through your mind and your thoughts. When you begin to think on things that are true and honest and pure. Sure, things may be happening, but I tell you what, when you speak the Word of God, because through Jesus Christ, we have victory. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Him. We're conquerors. And we need to remember that. Therefore, to fight this battle for our minds, we need to prepare our minds for action. And we do that through the Word of God, doing what God said to do, because He knows. He knows it will give us the victory. Philippians 4:8 is a very powerful, powerful, powerful message for you and I, the body of Christ. And we should memorize it. Because it's vitally important what we're thinking on. Because we can always think negative. We can always think fear and anxiety, whatever comes in. The Bible says, be not afraid of sudden fear. How many times has something happened? You got a phone call, something happens, somebody fell or whatever, and instant thing, fear comes. Oh no, I hope they're okay. I hope they didn't get killed. and fear, the wrong thinking, and saying, give it to the Lord. Let God give you a peace. That if fear does come, you conquer that, because it's a spirit that come from Satan. It didn't come from God. God did not give you and I the spirit of fear, but a power and love. When I was walking through a dramatic thing in my life, I quoted that continually. God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I spoke it out loud many times, driving in my car, selling. I had it in my mind. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And it built my faith to be able to conquer. But if I dwelt on the fear, it would have crippled me in many ways. And Satan tried. But praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, people. I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We need to give him praise.
Yes.
Glory to God. Sometimes we forget that God's delivered us from things.
Yes.
Even the good things in life. Even the things that we take for granted right now. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For everything I've got. Right down to my fingernails.
Yes.
Just think if you didn't have fingernails. Toenails. Ouch. Every little thing that God has given us. Thank you, Lord, for skin.
Yes.
Man, we're to guard our access to our minds. We're to guard it. Advertisers compete for our attention. Did you know that? They compete for it because once someone has our attention through visual or audio stimuli, they can attempt to direct us, and they do that. We put it into our minds is what's going to come out in our lives, and that's why today internet is so dangerous for our young people too. They advertise all this filth, all this demonic activity, and these young people receive it and it goes into their mind.
That's right.
Not only the young people, but the older folks too. To put this into a computer terminology, input determines output. What you put in your mind continue, you will become. And that's all you will dwell on. That's why pornography is out there. It's on the internet. It's in the homes. It's everywhere on television, because they know they can control the mind, because it's a bondage. And it's a battle for the mind. That's why you reject it. Solomon said it best. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. What we think in our heart is what we are. And Satan has lied to many people and defeated them because they began to believe what he put in their minds that they really are. Nobody can ever love me because I've been abused as a child. And that thought life will always come in. Everybody else won't love me. They won't care about me. And so you become bitter. You become hard in your life. People have been verbally abused and beat down so much they believe what the person is saying. And that's where the enemy comes into control. And that's where God brings deliverance through his holy word. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
He brings deliverance. Mark chapter 7, verses 7, 21 through 23. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Where do the evil thoughts come from? The heart. The mind. Adulteries. Fornication. How many people living in adultery and fornication today? Murders. Thefts. Covetousness. Wickedness. Deceit. Lasciviousness. An evil eye. Blasphemy. Pride. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They come through the thought life. The mind. That's what Satan battles us for, to control us in every avenue of our life. And when we submit to it, we open the door for him to come in and do the work that we don't want. And then we're crying out, saying, God, deliver me, God, deliver me, when we are the ones many times that open the door for the enemy to come in and battle the mind. It can be simple things or it can be complex things, but Satan looks for that door opening. When we open the door to sin in our lives, it is a welcome mat. It's a welcome mat to Satan to put his thoughts to you, to blind you from the truth. Because many people that are bound by things in their life, they become blind to the Word. Even Christians become blind to the Word of God. You can tell them what the Word of God says, and they say, I don't understand. I don't see that. because they become blinded. They open their mind to satanic attack, and Satan controls the mind when we let him. We need to speak the right things, the right word.
Amen.
Satan can put evil thoughts in our minds. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Does anybody believe that Satan can put evil thoughts in your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see how many hands believe that. Quite a few of you. Some, you that don't, okay, I'll give you some scripture here. Be ye, Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. How many people go to bed, especially married couples? You have a fight. You go to bed and you're angry at one another. You're so angry, you get spit nails. And you don't ask for forgiveness. You don't try to come together to resolve whatever the issue is. But you go to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, you even more control. Because Satan does a work even in your mind while you're sleeping and wake up. And he begins to control your thoughts and say, that person better apologize to me. I'm right and they're wrong. And it becomes a battle. It becomes a war. That's why God tells us, get it right now. If you have a fight, and I'm speaking to myself too, right, Ruth? I'm not covering anything up. If we have an argument, it's hard to gulp and say I was wrong. But we need to do it instead of go to bed with anger in our hearts, because it's a dangerous thing, because the Bible says we give place to the devil. When Satan beckons us to sin with deceptive thoughts or desires, our own sinful nature kicks. Remember Eve in the garden? How many remember Eve in the garden? Who impacted her thinking? Did Satan put thoughts in her mind? Did God really say? Where was he battling? He was battling her mind. He was putting a thought in her mind about God. Oh, let me give you this one. How about Judas at the Last Supper? If you don't believe Satan can put thoughts in your mind. It says in John 13, 2, is where Satan put in the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. Satan put in his heart, his mind, to portray Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to make a little more cha-ching. And so they lied to the Holy Spirit, because the enemy put in their mind that you can hold back. And Satan does that to you, whether you believe it or not. A lot of times Christians are motivated by thought that comes into their mind, and they do things contrary to the Word of God. And look at David. I looked up David in 1 Chronicles 21, 1, to disobey God. Satan put in the mind of David to disobey. God says, do not number Israel. Do not number them. And the enemy comes along and puts in David's thoughts to number them. So what's David do? He numbers them. Satan is at work to battle your mind, my mind. Every battle you're going through right now, the enemy is going to try to magnify it, to bring discouragement, to bring fear, to bring anxiety into your life, and realize that he is going to win. But he's not if you do it God's way.
Right.
No matter what turns up and turns out in your and my life, it'll be for the glory of God if we let him have it.
Amen?
Amen? I'm getting close to done. I'm on page 483. So we need to guard against any access Satan has to our minds. We need to guard that. We need to be choosy in what we let, because once it gets in, it's going to stay. Once it gets in there, it's going to stay. Scientists say that our minds can store 100 trillion facts. So we need to be picky about what goes in, because unlike computers, there's no delete key. That's pretty serious business, isn't it? These little brains, how much they can take in. Romans 12, 2, Paul warns, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, what's your will for my life? You'll never know if you don't give it to him, if you're conforming to the world. But I tell you what, I know what God's will is for my life. I know one of them anyway. There's others, but I believe God's will for me is to preach the gospel. And even not being a named preacher, but just before I was saved, I knew that God's will, once I got saved, was to be a person to go out and witness and share the gospel. And that's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
to win souls for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The perfect will of God. You want to know the perfect will of God? Don't be conformed to this world. If you're living a worldly life, don't expect to have God's thoughts and God's mind. You'll never be able to hear Him. Satan will blind you from the Word of God. And that's why today many Christians don't ever, hardly ever touch the Bible. Hardly ever during the week. And that's the most dangerous thing we can do, because we open ourselves up to satanic attack, because we're listening to the world all day long. When it comes to our minds, the word conformed are those pressures that are found in which we watch and what we read. Therefore, we need to be careful with what we read in magazines and in books and what we watch on TV and the internet. And that's because they pressure us to be and to do 6:7-8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what you reap when you have the mind of Christ. That's why we see movie stars right now and they're starting to die off. Guess what, people? I watched 9 movie stars that are dying right now or had serious accidents. Every one of them mocked God, made fun of Jesus, made fun of the Word of God. And they're bringing curses upon themselves. They're mocking God, and God says, I will not be mocked. What I find sad is the statistics where the Christian divorce rate is equal to that of the world, and the Christians are committing adultery and fornication with equal regularity to the world. And that amazes me. We even have some maybe even watching by Facebook. You're living in fornication, you think nothing of it. You're living in adultery, and you think nothing of it. But God does. Satan has put wrong thinking in your mind, thinking, oh, I love the person. That doesn't excuse fornication or adultery. It means get back to your spouse or get out of your fornication and repent of it before it's too late. Satan is blinding them to God's will. In fact, it's hard to tell who a Christian is anymore. Not because the morality of the world has gotten better, but because the morality of the church has fallen so low. I can't believe that I know what I know and what I hear around the country, just in this country alone, within the churches, the filth that's happening within churches. What we are being exposed to on TV and the internet is one of the biggest perpetrators of this moral downfall. Do you realize that on average we watch over 1,000 hours of TV and the internet yearly? That's 9.5 years if we reach the age of 65. 9.5 years of watching television. Now compare that to the time we spend reading God's Word, praying and attending Bible studies and church services. It's estimated that over those same 65 years that these averages out go to 4.5 months. 4.5 months, and it's proven in our society today. That's why they had to bring entertainment in the church to get them into the church. Because the Bible not doing it. We need to preach the Word. We need to preach the Word. How are we ever going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds when we watch what the world is feeding us? So much more than what we are taking in God's Word. How are we going to get our minds renewed? How are we going to be victorious when the enemy comes in and battles our thoughts with depression, discouragement, fear, anger, pride? How can we defeat him if we're watching more of the world than spending time with him? Satan can put thoughts in our minds, but God has given us everything we need to recognize them and renounce them in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How can we do that if we don't know the Word of God? But God gave us the ability to do it. But Satan is battling your and my minds, and he won't quit till we're dead.
Right.
He doesn't want us lay on our deathbed full of faith and saying, "Praise God, Lord." He wants us fearful. Even though we have been born again, forgiven, and now new creations in Christ, our minds are still programmed to live independently from God. And since we have no delete buttons, we need to be careful what we put into our minds. We need to be in continuous process of renewing our minds, and that's reprogramming it through the Word of God. What that means is that we need to replace all the lies that we have accepted as truth for all these years, along with those strongholds and arguments that exalt themselves over the knowledge of God and prevent us from fully obeying Him. And we need to replace him with the truth of God's word. This will help defeat Satan, and victory will come into our lives. Such a battle was fought at the start of Jesus' ministry. You all remember that, right? When he was in the wilderness, he was being tempted of Satan. All the Satan arguments were defeated by what was Jesus doing? How did he defeat the devil? He quoted the word of God. Why? Because that's what was in Jesus' mind, his thoughts. He quoted it, and you and I, we will defeat the devil when these thoughts are in our minds. God's thoughts, not our thoughts, not how we're going to do it. In other words, Jesus took captive every thought to the obedience of God's word. Every thought that Satan put in Jesus' mind, Jesus took it captive, and he destroyed it with the word of God.
Yeah.
He had the victory, didn't he?
Yeah.
King David said in Psalms 101:3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." How much wicked things do we put before our eyes? Whether you're in here, you're young or old, how much do we do that? We need to be careful not to allow the poison of the world to get in, because once it's in, it's like a bad relative. And not only that, but it also starts living itself out through us. And I found that in my own life and past. We got to be so careful. If I let bitterness take root, and soon it begins to live itself out through me in my words and in my actions, you'll be angry all the time. You'll be a bitter person. Now, besides filtering out all the bad stuff, there's also just a lot of stuff we don't need to get involved in or let in. That's frivolous stuff we don't need. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." In other words, while some things are not necessarily wrong, they're just not necessary. There's a lot of shows and books that are not necessarily bad or hurtful, but they are just stuffings. That's all they are. They're stuffings. That is stuff that we will fill our heads with, but they don't build up our faith. Things that take us from serving or living for the Lord. Things other than the things of God. We'll do everything but read the Word of God. And the other thing may not be bad, but if it's taking us away from the Word of God, our faith is not going to grow. We should be doing is renewing our mind through the Word of God. King David said in Psalms 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Say that out loud with me. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Let's say it one more time to Jesus. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And again, we apply the word of God as we read and study, and we act it out, we live it out. Today, the church and the Christians need to start taking captive our thoughts, life to be obedient to the word of God. So in conclusion, I'll stop it there. When God gave us our minds, he gave us a great gift. Amen?
Amen?
And as such, we are responsible to use, develop, and renew it on a daily basis. My responsibility.
Right.
If you're over the age of 12 sitting in here this morning, You have the responsibility, like any other adult, to renew your mind in the things of God. Because it's the mind that the battle for our souls is fought. Over the years, some of us have allowed all sorts of stuff into our minds. We have left our minds unguarded, and as a result, we become undisciplined in our thinking and the way we live our life. Therefore, let's start preparing our minds for action. We are in the last days. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to earth. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. I want to be part of that church. And I have the ability through the Holy Spirit not to be better than anybody else, but I, like you, have the ability to renew my mind to become thinking like Jesus Christ. Amen. That when I see him, I will be like him. Amen. Therefore, let's start. Let's start guarding the access to it in what we see and what we hear. That is, we need to guard both our eyes and our ears, amen? And then let's start taking captive our thought life to the obedience. When the enemy battles you with certain things and it's contrary, speak the word of God against it and make it go. Bring it captive. But let me just say this, finishing. As we've seen that while the battle we are in is spiritual, the primary ground that this battle is fought is in our minds, that is, our thought life. But what ultimately determines the victory is the place we give to Christ in our hearts. Where is Jesus Christ in your life? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to do an altar call this morning. And if there's anybody in here that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus said that the only way, he told a religious leader, Nicodemus, the only way to heaven is you must be born again. Did you hear that? You got to be born again. If you're not born again, you can't go to heaven. Not Christ follower. He said you must be born again. And if anybody's in here this morning and say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I don't know what that means. Then you need to get it right with God before it's too late. Jesus said, now is the day of salvation. Because Jesus said that, because he knows that you and I don't even know what the next moment will be. People drop dead in churches. And Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in this world that is born comes in, is born in sin. And we need to come to the Savior. And if you've never done that, I want to invite you this morning just to lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to commit my life to Christ. Because Satan is going to try to destroy you for eternity also. With every head bowed and eye closed, is there anybody this morning that walked in? Is there anybody that says, Pastor, I want to get born again? Just raise up your hand. Give you that opportunity. I need my sins washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is anybody? Now I want to ask, I'm not the one who saves people. The Lord does that. I take no responsibility for saving people. The Holy Spirit does that. And I'll let the Holy Spirit do it. He's done it before in services. When I dismiss a service, somebody will come up afterwards and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. It's better to do it in front of people, I think. Yes. Solidifies your walk. But everybody in here right now, I want to say, how many in here have dealt with battles in your mind with thoughts? Both my hands are up. I'm going to shout first. And if they are, I want you to just come up. Let's come up as a family of God right now to show the devil that we're going to come against him. Just come up. Don't delay. Just come up right away. And I know everybody's not going to walk up here. I understand that. I know that. But I know that everybody does have battles in their mind, whether they admit it or not. But that's okay. I don't force people, but I encourage you to always come up to an altar call, because whether you feel or believe it, this is where God does his work. Even when you walk away, you say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. That's okay. It's a faith walk, not a feeling walk. And by you coming up here, you agree with me that we all battle in our minds with thoughts. And some of them are very serious this morning. Some of you are dealing with mental and emotional issues in your life that you don't know how to handle them. You just have no idea how to do it. But God has the answer right here. You can have victory over your thoughts that the enemy brings in. And many of us, it's almost daily we wake up and we have a thought that comes there that shouldn't be there. And we cancel it out by this. That's how we cancel it out. That's why it's important to memorize the Word of God. Do I do everything right? Absolutely not. I beat you all up here. I was already standing here. I'm preaching to me too. So we're going to say a prayer together. I'm going to say my prayer. Not that my prayer is important. You can say your own too, but I just want to kind of guide and lead us. And as we do that, we're letting the Lord know that we desire to have His mind, to renew our minds in us through His power. But we also want to let the devil know that we know what he's doing. How he's trying to bring us down, to bring our families down, to bring our lives down. We want to let him know. So let's all pray in Jesus' name. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, right now I ask you that the blood of Jesus cover my mind as I have the helmet of salvation on me. And every foul thought, every negative thought, every fearful thought, every pessimistic thought, every evil thought, every fearful thought, I take authority over them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I command them to leave my mind in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I receive by faith from you to renew my mind according to your written word by your Holy Spirit, speaking into my heart the word of God. And I will be and am more than a conqueror to them that are in Christ Jesus. Satan has no authority over me. He is a liar and the father of lies. I am going to make it. I am going to be victorious. I am going to repent of sin in my life that I've been holding on to, that I've been trying to justify in my mind. But it's been a lie from Satan. And I renounce them right now. Every foul thought, every evil thought, I renounce them. And I command them to be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I receive from you right now a peace that passes all understanding. That when I leave here this church this morning, that I will have victory in my spirit. And I will begin to gain more victory when I wake up tomorrow morning. That when those negative thoughts come in, that I will have victory because I now will begin to fight them according to your word. And if I gotta keep fighting that thought all day long, I will be victorious. Hallelujah. I want to encourage everybody here this morning. Sometimes Satan doesn't just let up just because you say a word. Sometimes it's a warfare that will take a battle for maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe a month. Who knows? And how long you've been thinking and holding on to negative thoughts, you've got to let them go. And if it's contrary to God, you got the word of God to speak it, and it will come to pass. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Put that thought in your mind. The devil cannot keep you. He's a liar. He's got to let go. And when you speak the blood of Jesus, you will have victory. The power of Christ will come over you. And Satan will take a hike. His minions will take a hike from you. Because your home now will become one that has a renewed mind. A newness in your heart, in your family, in your life. Because now instead of trying to get even with people when they've harmed you, the thought is always to get even, to get hurt people. Instead of doing that, we learn. God said to forgive. Yes. To forgive. When we do it God's way, we find victory. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ will come upon you and we will see it. We are struggling in the church today with so many demonic things in our personal lives. It's unbelievable. That's because Satan controls the mind of many people in the church today. And we walk out in doubt. We walk in unbelief. We walk in our own fleshly desires and lust of ourselves. And Satan is controlling the church in many ways. And we need to stop it in the name of Jesus. My mind belongs to Jesus. Say it. My mind belongs to Jesus. And with your help, Jesus, with your help, Jesus, I will think on things of good report. I will think on things that are true and honest and pure and righteous and good, and it will bring virtue to my life. And I will do that with your help, Holy Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I'm excited about Jesus. We got the victory, church. We are the end time church. We are the end time church. Jesus is doing a work in this church right now. Whatever battle you're facing right now, any negative thought thinking you can't, this can't get done because of somebody else, guess what? It isn't up to somebody else. It's up to you by your thoughts, trusting in God, saying He will give you the victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You say, I can't, Pastor. Yes, you can. The devil just lied to you, but he told me the truth. He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. All things. Nothing is impossible for you, God. The devil says nothing will ever work out for you. It'll never come to pass. It'll never happen. You're dreaming in a dream world, and you can say, liar! God said He is the God of the impossible. He can turn circumstances suddenly around, and He is the God of the impossible. My God can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll get off my preaching box and praise the Lord. And I'm praying, Father, for everyone in this room today. Lord, I pray that your supernatural power will begin to move in our lives through your Holy Spirit into our minds as we consecrate them to you, dear Lord. What we look at, what we think about, what we're reading or whatever, what we're even listening to from a brother or sister, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we ask, Father, that your Word come to mind and we cancel that thought out in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless every home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and every area domestically, Lord. Touch every home. Help us to be a victorious church in this day, Lord. Help us to grow and to love one another as the body of Christ. Help us not to think on thoughts about somebody not loving us. So if they don't love us, we're told, Lord, by your word that we're to love others. If we don't have the love of the Father, we don't have the love of the Father. And I want the love of the Father in my heart and in my life. So Father, help us to be forgiving people, loving people that love one another to begin, that the world will look in and say, that church, they love people. And Father, that's our desire, to live according to your word, be doers of the word. In Jesus' mighty name I pray it. Amen.
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Sandra has sent me a message. She's asking for VBS volunteers as well too, to meet briefly after the service. So if you could make your way down there along with the teachers, that would be great.
Yep. Look at somebody on the way out and say, I have a renewed mind.